I invite you now to open your copies of God's Word to Romans chapter 15. I shall be reading verses 1 to verse 4. It is an exciting part of the Bible. I'm glad that the Lord is permitting me an opportunity to preach it once before I get to going through Romans. Maybe the second time will be a bit better, but it's very interesting and it's so countercultural to what we would expect God to say, or maybe not. Here is the Word of God. For we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The Word of God, and thanks be to our great God. Allow me to pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you are straightforward. There doesn't seem to be any ambiguity here, Lord. And so I ask, Spirit, that you would work in us through the Scriptures, that you would help us to see new things, help us to revitalize old things that have been there for a while, make them new in us, that you would show us how the church is to live with one another and how deacons and yes, of course, elders, but today, Lord, as deacons are the example of this character. I ask this, Jesus, to your praise and worship. Amen. So we are gathered today with a different kind of sermon and ceremony, I guess, with gratitude that the Lord has brought us two men who will be ordained as deacons, with the hope that we shall ordain more in the future. We believe that our Lord Jesus has commissioned his church to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world, a city on a hill, that the church is supposed to be a bastion of hope, a beacon that guides sinners, the lost, to the celestial home, to our Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, we believe as we carry on with our mission as the church, that Jesus Christ is the head, the church, the body. We also believe that Jesus Christ, as our head, gifted the church with two offices. One being the office of elder or pastor, which is a calling to spend, well, to spend our lifetime in prayer and studying and learning more from the Word of God, overseeing the spiritual health of the church by bringing food for the soul, not only on the Lord's day, but during the week. And the other office in the church is the deacon, a life that is committed to service, in service. So while the elders are dedicating themselves to strengthening the spiritual lives of the church, the deacon commits to fortifying the church as a community of stabilizing and sustaining its physical and practical structure. The deacon is not an elder's lackey. He's not a minion. The deacon is not a groupie. He's not a flatterer. He's not a yes man. The deacon is not a slave of the elder or of the people. The deacon is a slave of Christ. And a love and devotion and an uncompromising allegiance to Christ then fuels his strength, his enthusiasm, his determination, his energy to serve and care for the Church of Christ. As controversial as it may sound, an elder may be seen to reflect the priestly role of Christ, while the deacon may be seen to reflect the servant role of Christ. As a result, we do not believe the church is edified if the offices of elder and deacon are in competition with one another or against each other. No, we believe the office of elder and deacon complement each other as they seek together to build the kingdom of God in Christ with differing yet intertwining roles. Therefore, we see elders are called to the ministry of the word, while the deacon to the ministry of deeds. And yet, let us not forget the people of the church. The church, we're not to sit back and then watch as the elder and the deacon struggle to unify the fellowship of the saints. No, all of God's people, as those bound by God's love in the Holy Spirit, all of us, those who are chosen, the elect, those who are predestined to be adopted as sons of God, that is all of us who are influenced by the word, which shapes our deeds. Then the church, as individual members, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned, all of us then serve to upbuild the church as a whole. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12:6 said this, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them," he says. Use them, beloved. Do not just sit idly waiting for an elder or a deacon to do something. Let us use them. It says, it goes on saying, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy. Listen now, if you're going to do an act of mercy, Paul says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, with cheerfulness, don't be a drag on the church. In other words, if you're going to do something and you're going to have a role, don't do it like a grumpy old person. With cheerfulness. You see, it's not only through the ministry of the elder and the deacon that our Lord Jesus Christ then continues his work of ministering the world, you see. But it's through the church as a whole. The church is called to be a servant of Christ and therefore a servant of all. As we seek to reflect on the character of Christ, we must embody his selfless love and sacrificial spirit. This means that through our strength, we place the needs of others before our own desires and therefore also before our own needs. As God's word directs us through his apostle Paul, we are reminded that those who are strong have an obligation to bear with the weaknesses of others. And this is not about elevating yourself because you think you're strong above anyone else who you think might be weak. But it means humbly serving alongside them. We all are to embrace one another, to lift them up. And this act of embracing, as we're looking at Romans 15 in a moment, is so countercultural to the world. But doing that, our God says through the apostle, we can revitalize the hope in each other. The selfless ministry of service for the church must be characterized. It must be characterized in the life of the deacon. The whole church is to be a servant, and yet the deacon exemplifies it for us because he imitates his Lord, the great servant. And so the apostle instructs us, the church, to become servants of all. Hear now the word of God in Romans 15:1. Listen to how amazingly shocking this verse is, how he begins. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. What a radical calling that we have here. It's fully different to the world. You know, when we're growing up, we fight the world. We as we grow up, we equip ourselves. We strengthen ourselves because no one wants to be a weakling. Who wants to be weak? No one wants to be weak. Everyone wants to be strong. It's the only way. If we're strong, we can get what we want. That's how we live this world. It's a dog-eat-dog world. However, God's word instructs us, if you're going to be strong, if you are strong, then you have an obligation. The obligation, he says, is to carry the weak. Amazing. And further, if that's not bad enough for those who want to be strong with an obligation to carry the weak, Paul says, and not to please yourself. How much more different can the church be than the world? The Bible tells us here in this passage that this church, this mishmash of people, this basket case of souls, that there will be some that are called the strong. And there will be the weak. Paul, though, is not speaking about the muscular, thank goodness. He's not talking about the fit, the powerful, the vigorous. He refers to the spiritually strong here, the spiritually mature. See how he includes himself in part of the spiritually strong? We who are strong, he says. What he's getting at is he's talking about those who have found freedom in Christ. Those whose conscience, freed by the word and the illumination of the Spirit, can live faithfully to Christ, for Christ, without any secular, spiritual, ecclesiological restraints. They are strong in Christ. So in the immediacy, if you're reading this passage for yourself, you've got to ask yourself, are you the strong? Are you the one who Paul's talking about? Because God, through the apostle, says, then you have an obligation. Do you see it there? We who are strong have an obligation. Paul means to say that the spiritually strong in the church have a responsibility. If you're strong in the church, then you have an automatic calling, a duty. A duty comes from being strong, he says. It's a little like Spider-Man. Remember that scene? Depends on your version because it changes a little bit. But Peter Parker is being told that with great power comes great responsibility. Spider-Man is told power doesn't come unencumbered, you see. Power doesn't come free. Power isn't cheap either, he's being told. Power, strength, comes with the price of responsibility, of obligation. In other words, power and strength is not a license to do whatever you want. See how it's different to the world? You want to be strong in the church? Obligation, responsibility. What is it? To bear with the failings of the weak and not to do how you please. Not sure why to be strong. The apostle says your God-given strength comes with a burden. Our strength comes with responsibility. To be strong, he says, also means you're going to be weighed, that you will be restrained, and not in a negative way, but there will be a heavy load upon you, and it's a privilege that comes with power and strength, he says, will be of concern to care for others. I guess that's the first insight we can take from this. You want to know how you know the guy and the woman who is strong in the church? They're going to be more concerned for you than themselves. That's how you can find them. That's how elders seek out deacons. Because they show it. The Bible tells us the strong are obligated. They have a responsibility, responsibility to look out for the weak. Those who aren't strong. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. The spiritually strong are to bear, to endure, to tolerate, Paul is saying. But it's not in the context. People take it the wrong context. It's not in the context of to put up with. Oh, you're strong. I just take it. I just bear. I just absorb it. I just endure it. Like when Jesus, remember when Jesus talks to the disciples and he says, how long must I bear with you? Like he's almost annoyed with him. That's not this context. No, the call here is to bear, which means to pick up. To pick up and carry. To take on. Literally, it says to lift up. The spiritually strong are to lift up the spiritually weak and to bear them on the metaphorical shoulders. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. The failings. The shortcomings. You know what they are. Everyone knows what our failings are. It's all those things that we do in our life that then have consequences that bear upon us. Sin. Or it's also when we're living out slightly spiritually anemic, that we're just not strong, that we have more doubts than truth and affirmation in our soul, that we have frail faith sometimes. That's the failings. It doesn't mean that it's always just about sin, although unbelief is sin. The strong are to patiently walk along with the weak. So the strong, they have to be there as an obligation. This is your responsibility to lift the weak up, to help the weak, to bring them to a higher place, carry them once again on those metaphorical shoulders if they must. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. What? What's the point in getting strong? Right? I think that's another insight we can take from just this moment right now. It's the way that our Lord functions, isn't it? The world says, be strong so you can help yourself. Maybe get others to do what you want. And Jesus says, in my kingdom, I make you strong. So then you can grab the weak, lift them up, and together we will build the kingdom. That's beautiful. And so the strong are to refrain from pleasing themselves. The strong are not to demand their own way, in other words. They're not to demand their own ideas, their own personal taste. Can you imagine this role? I hope so, because you're all supposed to be doing it. And the world is totally opposite. The world says fight. Get a good job, Wally. Earn some money, power, prestige. Then you'll get what you want. That's the point. That's what we've been doing. That's what I did quite literally with my life. I wanted to get people to do what I do. What better way than to become a captain? Everyone does what you say. The world. And Jesus says, man, no. I build you up so that you may build my people up. Be strong. Be strong to help, to be the bearer, to lift up, to take on board, to carry on your shoulders, if you must, the failings of the weak. It's a call to radical opposites. When you bear with the failings of the weak, and this is probably directed at the deacons, it's for all of us, but when the deacons are going to be bearing with the failings of the weak, there will be a tendency for you to resent who you carry. You will want to drop them right back down. They, the deacons, yet are not to please themselves. Beloved, which one of you now wants to be the strong of the church? Are you strong? Are you strong? The strong will look like they are weak. The deacons always look like they're weak because they're not seeking their own pleasure, their own ideas, their own agenda. They're not seeking their own praise. They're not seeking their own power. They're not seeking their own personal tastes. They're not imposing. The strong are the ones that lift up the weak. The strong do not lift up themselves. They lift the weak up on their shoulders. So how do you know if you are strong? You know how you know if you are strong? You will use your freedom in Christ to freely let go of your freedom. This is the image that epitomizes the deacon, the strong servant that gives up his own pleasure for the lifting up of those who aren't strong. It is the image, if you haven't noticed already, of Jesus Christ, who is the strongest being beyond conception. Think about what Jesus did. He let go of his eternal freedom and allows himself to then be bound to a cross. He lowers himself to the earth to lift up the weak to his glory. It is Jesus who carries sinners on his shoulders. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. And so I think we can gain further insight here for deacons. Deacons, are you spiritually strong? Deacon, if you are spiritually strong, you aren't the spiritually weak. Therefore, act the part, says Paul. You are the one who has the obligation, the one that bears, carries, lifts up, who doesn't seek to please yourself. Act the part, deacon. And then show the church how to act the part. The strong, through obligation to Christ, seek to lift up, bear with the failing of the church, of individuals. Not merely, they don't do it merely just to obey here. Then those who are strong, they don't just do it just to obey, but with a purpose. The strong are not to be annoyed or they just get frustrated when they're called to serve or to carry the weak or to be with the weak or to walk with the weak. Because it's through the strong that God brings about his goodness in our lives. The apostle continues, look at verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor, and look what for his good, to build him up. That's the reason why not to please yourself. It's self-sacrifice. It's this selflessness. It's not relinquishing all our desires, beloved. You're not supposed to do just let go of everything that you want. When someone asks, Wally, what would you like? I don't say, oh, whatever you like. That's false humility. When someone asks, Wally, what pleases you? I do not say, oh, nothing in particular. I'm pleased when you're pleased. Again, false humility. It's not what it's getting at. The weak will be struggling with their failings. The strong don't just cave into their shortcomings and please them, leading them to further sin. As an example, I said this morning, if my brother loves to gamble and struggles with his failing, we do not please ourselves and then please my neighbor by going to the TAB and giving him money. If my brother or sister struggles with gossip, I do not please myself by not talking about it, but please them by talking about it. If my neighbor is depressed, we do not please our neighbor by keeping them in melancholy. If my neighbor has a gripe with a brother or sister and has stopped coming to church, we do not please our neighbor by then bringing church to them. That is not our role. Our role is bound by what Paul says, for their good. We must please them for their good. The strong do not please themselves. It doesn't mean that they sacrifice their own ambitions to help someone else achieve their ambition. That's not his point. His point is, we're not self-seeking. We are to let go sometimes of what we want, and we please the weaker brother with his sometimes failing conscience. But we continue to instruct him, be with him for his good, to build him up, not leave him where he is. We do not destroy them by continuing to promote their sin. We lift them up and out from their failings rather than pushing them deeper in or keeping them in. And so this is the character of the strong. You take it as an obligation to bear up with your neighbor. You let go of pleasing yourself to please your neighbor. But you do it for everything for his good, to build her up, not to destroy her or keep him down. This is the role and character of the deacon. It is the role and character of the church. And that's why the deacon must live it, to show the example. What the deacon does, he doesn't create dependence. That's supposed to be 101, isn't it? The deacon doesn't create dependence that the weaker brother can't do anything apart from that guy. He doesn't do that. The deacon is spiritually strong, selfless. He lifts up the weak, bears with their shortcomings, reorients the goals of his own ambition for a time, and then makes his ambition to bring good to his neighbor, to build them up. And then Paul says, why? Why do we do this? Verse 3. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Why? Because Christ has done this for you. The strong once were weak, dead in their own trespasses and sins, unable to save themselves. In fact, listen now, no man or woman is able to save themselves. There's nothing good in any of us. Anyone that wants to come before God cannot do anything in themselves, but must reach out to Jesus Christ. He is the one who saw our sin, saw our reproaches, saw our foul soul, and then he condescended from his glory to take our sin. Jesus took upon him our transgressions. Jesus bore our failings. Jesus Christ lifts us on his shoulders, so that when he died on the cross, he became a substitute for anyone that would dare call out his name by faith. And in that process, Jesus, as the suffering servant, offered his righteousness. For by faith you were called on him to take your sin. And the sin rested upon the sinless Savior. And then dying, Jesus paid the price of death that we all sinners deserve. Jesus Christ dies so that we wouldn't have to die the due penalty of the sin that courses through each and every human being. And on that cross, Jesus, perfect and holy, takes the sin of those who believe in him and exchanges our sin, like I said, for his righteousness and his goodness. Jesus Christ came to give his life. He sacrificed his life. He abandoned glory for a time. Suffers so that we might have hope. See, Jesus is the suffering, sacrificial servant. It begins with Jesus. Jesus is the example. Jesus is the strong who lifts up the weak for their good, to build them up in him, to fortify the structure of the church. This is the example for the deacon. This is the example for the church. Jesus Christ, he's the one that the deacons emulate, show us, and as the church as a whole, imitate. Jesus is the suffering servant. The deacon shows us the servant heart of Christ. However, in the church, not all are strong and not all are going to be the ones that bear with the failings of the weak. And so we need the strong. We need the strong for those moments that we fall. We need the elder, and we need the deacon. And we can't have them in competition with one another. But the roles intertwine. We are the ones that show Christ. And then when the church sees it, and when we are unified, we are the ones that show Christ. We show His perfect sacrifice. You know why Jesus came? Jesus did not come to be, He did not come to be served, but He came to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. This is the example that the church has in Jesus Christ, and this is the example that deacons must imitate. And so here we are, as we're contemplating the way that we will show Jesus Christ through eldership, yes, but also through the diaconate. The elder, the pastor may stand behind a pulpit and spiritually look after your soul, but the deacon, intertwined with the roles of building up the church, goes out, gets his hands dirty. He has the ministry of deeds. But both roles that come to the church and edify the church is to show the watching world Jesus Christ. You see, because no one can come to God unless they come through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God." Do you see the reason why the church must be fortified and must seek to be strong? And the reason why we need the strong to bring up the weak is to create holiness and a reflection of Jesus Christ, because without the city set on a hill, the beacon of light, no one can see Jesus Christ. And without Jesus Christ, no one can come to God. We must, as a church, break down the distractions that hypnotize the world, preventing them to see that this world is transitory, that all of this will end. And so Jesus has to keep coming back into our vocab. We've got to keep speaking of Jesus as the Savior and the church as the herald of the good news. Jesus is the great preacher of the church, and the elders of the church are the ones that continue the proclamation behind the pulpit. Jesus is the great servant who gives himself up for the failings of the weak, and the deacons are those that continue to shadow the life of the servant. Jesus has come to build his righteous kingdom, and the church people are those who form its foundation, who lift up the walls of the temple of God by holding on to each other, building each other up in love. And yet there are two offices in the church, the elder and the deacon, but also one major office for all of us. 1 Peter 2:9 says that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. All of us must point to Christ. We must proclaim the excellencies of He who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. To all of us. Ephesians 4 talks about how Jesus gave gifts to the church that they would be built up to conduct the ministry of the word, bearing with one another in love, eager, it says, to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see that this message now is not a message of pointing fingers. We're trying to find out who is the lowly, who is the mighty, who is the strong, who is the weak. This message is of hope. It's why Paul then goes in verse 4 to say, "Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. See what all this is about? We as the church must go out with God's word. As we are lifting up and bearing with the failings of the weak, we must look at God's word for our instruction. That from what we get from this instruction produces an endurance. And as we are enduring through this world and the instruction of God's word, it builds an encouragement. And through that brings hope. You see, to the deacons, all of us have to do this. It's for the church. But Paul is speaking to those who are strong, spiritually strong. You may think it's just about moving chairs, organizing a roster of who cleans in the kitchen. But a large part of what you will do must grab a good hold of God's word. That must bring instruction. And it must bring an endurance that then will be encouraging, that will lead them in the end to hope. I guess that's our last insight that we have. How do I know if I am strong? You know how you know? Is that whenever you walk with someone or you bear with them, you're always bringing them to the hope in Jesus Christ. Whether you're an elder or a deacon, hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. There is our hope. There is our calling. Our calling is not that we would see that the elder and the deacon would do it all, and I just sit as part of the church idling. The call is for all to participate in here. The call is for all to be strong. But if you are weak, praise God that there are others strong. And if you are strong, then you have an obligation to the weak. So if you're a deacon, there is your obligation. You are, by definition, the strong. Act like it. Live it. Do not pursue, as the Bible says, please yourselves. Do not aim to please yourself, but please your neighbor for his good, to build him up, that together we would form the kingdom of God. Allow me to pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you show us the call in the church is that there's going to be some that are strong, there's some that are weak. That with power and strength comes a responsibility. The responsibility, O Lord, is that we would learn to humble ourselves as we bear, lift, carry the failings of the weak. That we would not aim to please ourselves, but each of us would aim to please our neighbor. But not for sin's sake or for our neighbor's sake, but for their good, to build them up. Why? Because, Lord Jesus, you did that for us. And in new lives, O Lord, as your people, chosen, elect, predestined to be adopted sons. As sons, we will look like you. And through it, as we go, the word of God will be our instruction. That as we apply what we read and heard today, it would help us to endure. And as we endure through the help of your word and the Holy Spirit coursing through us, we may find encouragement. And through the way we are with one another, we may redirect people's sights to hope in you. To your great name I pray this. Amen.